This is Ozarks at Large. If you want to experience one of the oldest active landmarks of Northwest Arkansas, you can saunter just off the University of Arkansas campus near Dixon Street and walk through Evergreen Cemetery. Abby Burnett, writing for the Encyclopedia of Arkansas History and Culture, places the beginning of the land's use as a cemetery in 1870. That's a year before the University of Arkansas was established. Congressmen, governors, presidents of the U of A, and many people for whom streets in Fayetteville are named are buried there. The Evergreen Cemetery Association is becoming more active lately, making plans to restore some tombstones and provide care for the place. And December 10th, Evergreen will be a stage. The Cemetery Association, in conjunction with the Artist Laboratory Theater, will present the one-day event History Comes Alive, as seven city ancestors' stories will be told. Last week, we invited Marilyn Hefner, the president of the Evergreen Cemetery Association, Erica Wilhite, the artistic director of the Artist Laboratory Theater, and Will Gehring, musician, writer, and researcher, to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio. Marilyn Hefner says Evergreen's history is deeply intertwined with Fayetteville's history.
You know, it was originally a family cemetery of the John Thomas family, and the Thomases lived down about where the depot is on Dixon Street now. And okay. So up on that hill is where they chose to bury, you know, their family. And then the Oddfellows and the Masons joined in. They had a piece of land, and they combined it with the Thomas's family cemetery, and it became the Fayetteville. They actually gave it to the city of Fayetteville, and so became Fayetteville Cemetery for, you know, just the general population was buried there. And then in 1915, the Fayetteville Evergreen Cemetery Association took it over from the Oddfellows and the Masons and started it as a public cemetery. So
101 years it's been a public cemetery.
Right, and they incorporated in 1925. So we are interested in promoting the cemetery, cleaning it up, fixing it up, you know, for lack of a better term, making it come alive.
Well, you say making it come alive. Let's turn now to Erica Wilhite, the artistic director of Artist Laboratory Theater. While you can't really make it come alive, you're going to do as close as what you can do, right?
I guess we are coming to life in the way that we're taking a historical story about research, basically, mm-hmm. and activating that, making that into, developing that into monologues, first-person monologues, so that it's not just data and dates, but point of view and character. And that's what we do because we're theater artists. And so, and this particular kind of work where we start with research instead of a script is our cup of tea, so to speak. So we are poised for the project and really excited about it.
And while Artist Laboratory Theater has done things inside, it's not unusual for y'all to be outside.
You know, we've been outside as maybe more than we've been inside. So the elements and our environment that we can't control is also something that we are accustomed to.
Who are some of the folks that will have some new breath in them?
Okay, well, we'll meet seven of our founding fathers and mothers. We mentioned Archibald Yell and Stephen Stone. We're also going to meet Sophia Sawyer, educator and founder of the Female Seminary. We'll meet Roberta Fulbright, owner of the Democrat Gazette and Washington Hotel, and as we know, the mover of this town when she was around. We'll meet Peter Van Winkle of the Van Winkle Hotel and Lumber Tycoon. And Adeline Blakely. We're going to meet Adeline Blakely. She is the only person of color buried in the cemetery. She is buried with the family she worked for. She actually was enslaved to the family and then became an employee of the family. But she is also going to come to life, so to speak, accompanied with music. We're going to bring some live music out there so that we can create, you know, the ambiance, but also give it that nice music helps place us in time really nicely. And as we know, this town is overrun by old-time musicians, so I'm not having any trouble with that. But it's going to be a lovely, I think, aesthetic experience. The cemetery as a site, as a theater, to me is one of the most beautiful spaces that I've ever staged anything in. So It's going to be interesting, informative, hopefully inspiring, but also just really nice to be out there, I think.
You mentioned Roberta Fulbright. Senator Fulbright is in Evergreen, too, correct?
Right. That's her son.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, he's buried just on the other side of the family tombstone, and as well as another son. You know, she had six children, and when her husband died, when she was a young widow with, you know, six kids to raise, and they had a lot of business interests, he was involved in almost everything that was going on in Fayetteville then business-wise, and she was forced to take over those businesses because there were a lot of people in town that were trying to cheat her. Cheat her out of her business thing. So she took over, and then as an editor of the newspaper, she worked very politically in getting, a governor elected at one point. But she certainly made her mark on the state as well as the city of Fayetteville, as I think a lot of these people did. Stephen Stone, I think you'll probably, he was a merchant, and I think you'll not only see, you know, what his life was like. He's the grandfather of Edward Durrell Stone, the architect, and the Walker Stone House is one that we look at as one of the historical houses of Fayetteville. And but to find out what he sold and how business was for a merchant that had a business on the square, you know, all those just are fascinating. So not only do you look into the lives of the people, but you look into the life of Fayetteville.
Erica, who's doing the research? Who's putting it together?
Well, I've got a team of artists, writers. I'm working with the local historian, author, Jerry Hogan.
Who knows everything.
He knows everything. And I'm working with him already on another project. We're working on an audio tour for the downtown square. He's a friend. And he's also meeting with the actors. So not just with the writers and helping me fight with my dramaturgy. He's after this, I'm going to go meet him and an actress about Roberta Fulbright because he has a really strong opinion about and kind of loves her. And so I thought you really need to talk to the actress. And so it's myself. It's a historian. It's some local writers. Actually, here we are with Willie Gehring, a playwright in town, who I call upon often for work. But so it's a team of local artists.
Willie, can I bring you into this conversation? So you're writing, researching, among others, Archibald Yell?
Yeah. It's a huge pleasure to do this. I've gotten to write things for the Artist Laboratory Theater before, and I guess it's been things as crazy as you can imagine, and also things as grounded, literally grounded, I guess, as the work that we're doing now. Archibald Yell is just fascinating. The epitome of Jacksonian politics and also sort of a Jacksonian personality mingled with sort of almost a Daniel Boone sensibility of desire for adventure.
A larger-than-life character.
Very much so. And in some ways, pretty despicable. I have to admit, at least I've found him to be a little bit. I think what's most interesting to me about him as a writer is the way that he wrote his prose. Is he has this sort of very vernacular way of writing things, and he writes things idiomatically. But he's also not afraid to be very expressive. It's not legalese. It's often emotionally charged, full of pathos. I guess that's evidenced by the brawls and duels and et cetera that he was in.
And when you say brawls and duels, these aren't euphemisms. He was in brawls and duels.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Coming up with a voice for that person, especially thinking, how can we do justice to this ghost in just a little bit, is, of course, an impossible task, but one that's, I guess it seems like, some of the highest good that maybe can be done with somebody so complicated and with a history so palpable.
You know, I get the feeling that Evergreen at one point had this sort of, you could see it from different places. Now it's buttressed on one side by the University Avenue on another, what is that, center that goes behind it, mm-hmm. and some apartments. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of tucked in now.
Right.
Development has kind of gone around it.
When Fayetteville began, I mean, it was the square was your basic town. I mean, and then even in the 60s, you know, out by Township was the north boundary, you know. And I think that, you know, with the infill that Fayetteville does so well, you know, then I think we're encroaching upon that. Long-term goals are, you know, maybe to put QR codes on the tombstone so you can queue up their stories while you're walking through there on your smartphone, you know. So
Archibald Yell didn't see that coming.
No, he didn't. You know, we're in the beginning stages of a website, too. We have a Facebook page, you know, the Fayetteville Evergreen Cemetery. But, you know, we're hoping to make that a research source for not only genealogists, but for historians and for another way to tell Fayetteville's story.
Marilyn Hefner is the president of the Evergreen Cemetery Association. We also heard from Erica Wilhite, the artistic director of the Artist Laboratory Theater, and Will Gehring, a musician and writer helping research for the History Comes Alive presentation at Evergreen Cemetery that will take place Saturday, December 10th, beginning at 1 p.m. Admission is $10. Tickets may be purchased at the event at artlabtheater.com or at the Fayetteville Visitors Bureau on the downtown Fayetteville Square.